thousand generations ahead of them. Cool as they come. See, all my suits are Calvin Klein. My lucky number 69.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. This is Kat Carlos. I will be running the show today, and William and Brian are other preoccupied today, so it's just me and our wonderful guest today. We've got John Isbell on the show, so we're very excited about that. Quick note, just want to say thank you to our show sponsor, People Clues. Check them out, peopleclues.com, great assessment company. And let's get it started. John, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Well, John, let's go ahead and kick it off and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll get started today.
Well, sounds good. First of all, thanks for having me. And second of all, I'm John Isbell. I'm the Senior Director of Training for Oak Charlie's. We're an ABRH concept. Previously, I've been with the Improv Comedy Club and with IHOP. So that's all mostly in training and operations. That's kind of my background.
Very cool. Great. Well, we're glad to have you today, and excited to hear what we can stir up on the show. So let's hear, what is currently keeping you up at night?
What's currently keeping me up at night is how to train the Generation Y or the Millennials, because frankly, they're a different group. It's a different group to train than it was, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. They're so used to getting information anytime they want it, as quickly as they want it, at the touch of a button, that they're not wanting to look at books, they're not wanting to look at manuals, they're not wanting to sit through classes. And so the big challenge is, how do we maintain the information we need to teach and the integrity of all the stuff we need to do and still meet the learning needs of this younger generation. And so that's literally keeps me up at night.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's definitely something that a lot of people, especially in the training industry and recruiting, are definitely struggling and just trying to figure out, you know, some different ways around all that. So What is something that you guys are doing at O'Charlie's to kind of overcome that?
I think the first thing you have to do is you have to be in the game of computer-based training. There's no, you know, being in the restaurant industry, we were really sort of the last industry to embrace e-learning, because you think, well, it's restaurants, they got to be in restaurants, they got to learn just by doing, and that's not necessarily the case. It's not how they get the best information, and so you really got to attack it from a blended approach. And so we've got a really robust learning management system, and we're building our programs so that they meet that short attention span of the Gen Y, the millennials. And I call it Twitter training. Basically, as much training as you can get in as little chunks as possible, and then get them doing it. And then they come back and they learn something in a really small chunk, and then they go and do it. Small chunk and do it. And so I think that's sort of a recipe that's getting to be really good for us. And we've only been in the CBT world for O'Charlie's for about, gosh, I guess only 8 or 9 months. I got here about a year and a half ago, and it was one of the first things I took on. And we went pretty quickly. I was lucky enough to hire a guy named Mike Jones, who is just one of the best in the business at computer-based training, and he helps me by developing these programs and shooting the videos and doing things. He's a young guy, so he gets that generation. So I think, A, you have to have the right people creating the training, and then, B, you've got to be creating it for the right people. And so, you know, you do worry about the older generation, because they're all still in the workforce and how they're going to keep up. But I think, you know, even those generations now understand that computer-based training is kind of what you have to do. So now the next generation is getting it on their phones and their iPads and using Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and anything else you can, social media-wise, to make it interesting, to make it something that somebody wants to do. And I think if you can do that, it helps you in your recruiting, it helps you in your retention, it helps you in your operations, because, you know, those people are now excited. They're excited to be with you because you've engaged them and you've talked on their level.
Yeah, absolutely. So what has the response been from maybe the younger generation on this new type of training? And has the maybe just some of the different generations, the Gen X or the baby boomers, are they responding well to this as well?
Yeah, the younger generations are responding really well. I mean, the millennials and the Gen Y are like, what took you so long? So they're right there and saying it's about time. I think your Gen Xers are generally fine with it. You know, we grew up with Atari. We grew up with video games, and sort of that first generation was really into video games. So Gen Xers I don't really have a problem with. It's when you get into baby boomers and even some of the traditionalists that you start to worry. But, you know, I think I said this when I was on the show the last time, I think Facebook has done more for computer-based training than maybe anything else, because older generations now are on Facebook. That, you know, my grandma has a Facebook account. She checks up on her grandkids and great-grandkids. And so, you know, she's not afraid of a mouse anymore. She's not intimidated by a screen. She knows what a window is and a keyboard is. So I think that you'll find that more and more older generations are starting to embrace it a little bit. Now, is it their preferred method? Absolutely not. And they'll not hide that. But they're not intimidated to do it if that's the best way the information can get to them. So the reaction has been really positive. I think also, you know, when you've got an older company like ours, your manuals have been around for a while. So just anything new is going to excite the employees because they're tired of looking at the same old stuff. So our reaction has been really great, and we're really pleased with it so far.
That's great. Do you think that for you guys, at least at O'Charley's, is this something that eventually you will kind of weed out a lot of the manuals and go to really just online, computer-based, and maybe just eventually do away with paper manuals?
I think it's probably heading more and more in that direction. I'm not sure you can ever completely do away with paper-based manuals, because I'm also a firm believer that everybody learns differently. And some people like to read. They like those pages. They like to hold it. And some people, you know, don't. They want to be on the computer, and some people don't want to do either of those, and they want to just go out and do it and have a really good checklist. So I think you're probably always going to have them. I just think the printing is going to be much less, you know, and especially in today's print world where you've got the ability to print on demand now and with most companies. So I think less and less paper is probably a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. What do you think, or what are you seeing that maybe that, with the engagement just within the company that this new training has provided? Are you seeing, you know, better engagement with employees and, you know, higher retention and things like that?
Yeah, and, you know, again, it's still early in the process, but I think we're starting to see it because I think people feel like we're actually caring about the learner, which we have not necessarily, you know, traditionally, and the restaurant industry is really bad for this. We're a one-size-fits-all training kind of industry, and you put a book out there and you make sure everybody goes through it and then they practice and they go. But I think once you start showing employees that you actually care about their specific learning style, and frankly, it's not that hard to do. I mean, you're going to create most of the stuff anyway. You've got to write it. You just package it differently. And then once that employee sees that it's packaged specifically for them, they feel like you've taken the time to care about how they learn. And so our turnover is down. Our management turnover is crazy down. I mean, they really like where we're going in the direction that we're heading. So, it's really positive. And I think as we keep putting more and more of our training programs on our learning management system, I think it's just going to keep getting better and better.
That's great. Very good. What are some things that maybe were some initial just challenges for you coming into this that you had to overcome to maybe, you know, get all this kicked off and implemented into this new system?
A couple things. One is just the sheer amount of really great learning management systems there are out there. So, you know, you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to do your research, get your bids, and just find out the capabilities of everybody. So just to get started, the work it takes just to figure out who it is that you want to work with. And then after that, now you've got to take any content that you might have already had and rebuild it into this program. And more importantly, you've got to start writing the program. So, you know, there's money involved because you've got to pay for the system. And then once you've paid for the system, now you're nervous because you need to be using that system as soon as possible. And so now you've got to create the programs as quickly as possible. So I think that alone, just sort of the time it takes to get started, is one challenge. And then the second challenge is overcoming, you know, 40 years of, well, we've kind of always done it this other way. And so you've got to kind of battle that and say, you know, get some small wins. So what we did, you know, when we first came in, we made some changes to rollout training, which were really effective. So we got those small wins, and people started to trust us. And so you can say, look, trust me, this is going to be the way we're going to go. And so I always say that when you go into any new job, find the quick wins you can get first, because it's only going to help you down the road. So, you know, you can build some credibility and you get a little cachet there. So those are the two biggest challenges, just getting people to get past their preconceived notions of what computer-based training was, and we've always done it this way, and then finding the right system and utilizing it.
Yeah, great. Did you get any pushback or hesitance just from, you know, maybe some team members in the organization that were just really hesitant on trying something new and going with a new full-out learning management system?
Constantly.
Yeah.
It was and your first, you know, couple of months when you're doing this, there's like stages of it almost. So the first stage is this euphoric, holy crap, wouldn't that be really cool if we could do that? And then there's the stage that goes, oh, but wait, now I've got to get rid of my comfort, you know, my blanket, my security blanket that I've had for so long. And I don't know if I'm ready to do that. And then the third stage is almost anger that now you're being forced to change. And then the next stage is just finally going, all right, fine, if that's how we're going to do it, that's how we're going to do it. And then hopefully once they get in, you got their foot in, then it's, you know, then they go and cruise. So our senior staff was great, and I will say that you have to have the support of your senior team if you're going to take on an endeavor like going into computer-based training, because if they don't believe in it, they won't help you push it. They're not going to sign the checks that you might need to be able to develop it. So if you're going to go sell the need for computer-based training, you better have your ducks in a row. What's it going to reduce in printing costs? What's it going to help you in efficiency? Why will I spend less labor and get better training if I'm doing some computer-based training versus doing classroom stuff? So, you know, have those things in. And once you start going in and talking numbers and if it saves you and productivity goes up, then you're golden. And if you can't prove that, then you're going to have a really hard time.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. That's great. Well, that's, you know, it's really cool that you've been able to kind of implement all of that. It sounds like it's, you know, a great training program that you guys have going on. So very cool on that. So what are some things maybe in 2013 that you guys are focusing on at O'Charley's, just besides the new training program? Any cool just new concepts or things that you guys are doing?
Well, we are definitely, O'Charley's is changing. You know, we were bought by American Blue Ribbon Holdings, which is ABRH, and we're literally changing ourselves as a company. So that's probably our biggest focus is, you know, sort of embracing this past, this American Favorites with Southern Twist, new brand image thing that we've got going. And now how do you weave all that into your training? So what's, you know, what is Southern, how do you train Southern hospitality, for instance? And do it in a way that's maybe on a computer. So those are really the challenges for us, is how do you weave in all these new brand elements, which is really the exciting stuff. I think most training people will tell you, anytime you get to change your brand image and start talking internally differently about your brand, it's really fun. It makes what you do fun, because now you get to rebrand, you get to change the look, you get to change how you talk. And that's, you know, you're not just doing the same old boring training stuff. You get to actually do something cool and start to really build something and build a following because you've got all this new great material to work with. So that's probably
that's
the
great.
Biggest thing that we're working on this
yeah.
year.
Yeah, that's great. How do you guys maybe just get kind of buy-in just from the team and employees on, you know, we're going to create this new brand and have, you know, all these changes? Because, you know, a lot of times people are really hesitant to change, especially
yeah,
just coming from the employee.
I think one thing that helped us is the fact that we needed to change. I think everybody recognized we, you know, our sales weren't what they were. You know, we were kind of feeling a little stale. We've had changes in upper management I've been here a year and a half, and I've had three presidents. So lots of change going on. And I think once this new group came in and they said, we're here for the long run, here's what we're doing, they did the research that they needed to do, which had not been really done a lot here. So that you're now talking numbers. You're now talking about what the guest specifically says and wants. And when you start from that point, from fact, and then you've got some really great ideas on top of it, it's pretty easy to get the buy-in. We have not really had a lot of employees go, well, I wouldn't sell crispy pickle chips. That's crazy. But, you know, because we just rolled those out on this new menu, it's a sort of a southern twist kind of thing, and they're just so good. So it helps that you've got really good food coming out. So our culinary team's being, you know, just unbelievable in their innovation. Our marketing group's on top of their game. Training, we're trying to take it to the next level just to keep up with these guys because everybody's just doing so well and so exciting. And you can feel it when you go into the restaurants. Everybody's excited about what's happening, what's new, our new rollout. We just introduced a pot pie. And you would think, you know, pot pie, it's hard. I mean, it's double crusted. It's baked. We've not really done a lot of baking in our past. So, you know, just changing people's skill sets as well. And the product's just so good when it's done right that everybody wants to do it right so that they can sell these things. So.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. How is the culture with, you know, the new company coming in and kind of, you know, changing things? Is it a very, like, open culture where employees are, you know, feeling engaged and, you know, ask their opinion and things like that about the new brand and changes that they want to make?
Yeah, and the one thing that our CEO, Hazem Uluf, came in and did was, first of all, he was really open in his communication. So he was always talking to us, even through the process of them buying us. Once he was allowed to talk to us, he would talk to us and just say, here's what's going on, here's the messages, here's what we're doing, here's the progress and the finalization and just things like that. And so that was a big thing, just being open to that conversation. And then secondly, he concentrates on what he calls the VVC, the vision, values, and culture. And he preaches it. So when I say preaches it, I mean this man, when you listen to him talk, I've heard him give a speech about our VVCs probably, I don't know, 20 times since he's been here, to different groups, and I leave fired up every single time I listen to it. So, I mean, he just lives it. He always talks about our vision. He makes decisions based on our values, and then he really tries to drive the culture that he says he wants. And so the whole senior team's bought in, and I think once that happens, once everybody's living the VVCs, then that sort of just rains down to the restaurant employees because they see we're making decisions based on, you know, integrity and accountability and the things that you hear a lot of companies talk about, but we're actually trying to do and live. So
that's sort of
got that buy-in when he first came in.
That's great. That's great. It's definitely something I think a lot of people, you know, struggle with is having that really open culture. But that's really cool. Sounds like you guys are doing a great job at that. Just do a quick reset here, everybody. We're listening to Drive Through HR. This is Kat Carlos hosting today with John Isbell. And so, John, let's take a different turn here. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of your favorite conferences that are coming up this year.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really involved in a group called CHART, which is Council of Hotel and Restaurant Trainers. And it's an unbelievable organization full of just really smart, training people who also have a love for operations and all things restaurants and hotels. And so, it's people that have sort of a like-minded feel to them. They've got some of the similar problems, and the conferences are awesome. And there's two this year. The first one, excuse me, is in San Diego, February 25th through the 26th. And the second one is in Miami, July 20th through the 23rd. So that ought to be, you know, nice and cool in Miami in July. But it'll still be a great conference. I'm a former board member and past president of this organization, and it's you're going to go and you're going to learn about training. And if we have tracks for every level, there's an executive track, there's a beginning track, and everything in between. So we make sure that we're giving these, you know, you've heard this phrase, the plumbers are the ones with the rusty pipes. Well, we always say the trainers are the ones who never get any training because they're so busy training everybody else. Well, we've got this. And so we finally got a place where people can come and learn, and learn about e-learning, learn about how to give a good presentation, and how to, you know, how to do whatever it is that you want to figure out how to do. So that's the big ones for me. And then there's another one called Summer Brand Camp, which I'm lucky enough to be on an advisory board for this year. And this is People Report and Black Box put this on every year now for the last couple of years. And it's really just fun. I mean, you talk about it's really great speakers, fast-paced. If you get bored with one speaker, just wait, because 5 minutes later there's going to be somebody else on. And it's June 4th through the 6th. In Dallas, Texas this year. And I know you and I are both lucky enough to be on the advisory board for that. And so I'm excited to get to work with you and really see how we can make this conference one of the best that they've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And People Report puts on just some amazing conferences. And last year I attended my first one at Best Practices, and I was literally just blown away by the community that's there and just the different things that they bring to a conference. I mean, I travel through most of the SHRM conferences all year, and love my SHRM groups, but that conference is definitely just completely unique to that space, and it's really cool. So I'm excited for Summer Brand Camp as well.
Yeah, I agree. And my first Summer Brand Camp was last year, and at the end of it, I told Joni, I said, I'm in. Whatever you need, I literally am in, because I just enjoyed it that much and walked away engaged, invigorated, any other E word that I can think of. But just the energy that I got from that conference was awesome. So, and I learned a ton.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what do you, where are some maybe just some other conferences that maybe aren't as specific to the restaurant industry that you've attended that you think are worthwhile to check out this year or anywhere else that you're traveling?
Well, and I don't have the dates in front of me, but the National American Society for Training and Development puts on an amazing conference every year. So that's all of industries. You know, it doesn't have just hotel and restaurant. And even really, Summer Brand Camp isn't necessarily just all hospitality, although there's a lot that go there, but there's a lot of different industries there as well. But for the most part, it is mostly hospitality. But American Society for Training and Development is an organization that's been around forever. And, I mean, these guys just get really top-notch main stage speakers and breakouts. And it's a giant, huge conference that if you are into training, want to be a trainer, have ever been in training, or just love to talk about training, it's a place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk back about a little bit about CHART, since that event's coming up in February, and I'm excited to get to attend this year for the first time. But what are some things that maybe if you're a first-time attendee trainer attending CHART conference, what would you say are the three things to focus on or to really try to engage and get the best out of the conference?
Okay, if you're a first-time attendee, first of all, get with your mentor. Everybody's assigned a mentor. And really use that resource. A lot of times, I think new people to the organization feel like they don't want to bother the people who've been there for a long time, but that's what they do. I mean, that's their biggest thing, is they want to help. I mean, CHART is unique in that these guys, you know, one of our sort of underlying mottos is steal and give shamelessly. So we share things with each other. You need a program on that? Let's talk about it. I'll give you some of the background of my stuff. Obviously, no proprietary stuff, but anything that you can to help that other person, because we really just want to see people succeed. So get to know your mentor. If you go with other people, get away from them. And I mean that by a lot of times, you know, the group of three or four people will come from the same restaurant and then only spend time around each other. Well, you guys already know what you know. So go find other people who know other things and get to know them. So, get involved as much as possible, volunteer when you can, but mostly just listen to these people who've been around this industry for a long time and are just really good at what they do. And then the third thing is sort of tied to that. There's a hospitality food every night, some place to go and just kind of relax and talk about the day. And my first couple of years, I didn't realize how valuable that was. I think I learned almost more in the hospitality suite than I do from some of the breakouts, because Now it's just people who are just in a free environment, just talking about it, and, you know, all sorts of topics come up, but it always almost eventually comes back to training, and you're talking about some ideas about this, and maybe you've had a problem and want to bounce something off of somebody. So I'd say those are your three things.
Very cool. That's great. Yeah, and I think that's one of the, you know, those are the things that I love about these smaller conferences that are so impactful, is that they've got these really powerful networking events. You know, People Report does it every night, where they've got the networking, you know, happy hour. And that was really where you make the best connections and talking to people about the day and, you know, just, you know, interacting with everybody. You know, it didn't matter if you're, you know, an executive level person or, you know, a client relations, you know, manager or something. I mean, everybody was interacting and really engaging with each other, and that's pretty cool. I love that, and I love the service event aspect of all these conferences, where, and I think Chart does it as well, where you guys have a service event one day and everybody goes and volunteers and gives back to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge part. You know, our motto is learning, caring, growing, and sharing, and so that's really the sharing piece of that, and we really do. We try to find something that's going to impact that community, and we want to make it a little bit better than it was when we got there. So I think it's a big part of any conference that you can go to. If you have that opportunity, do it, because you feel better. And then hopefully you take that back to your community and start doing some stuff for your community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. I'd love to see more conferences kind of implementing that aspect to it. I mean, there's just such an opportunity when everybody comes together and gives back, and it's pretty powerful. So that's really cool.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, John, we just have a couple minutes left, so let's kind of bounce around a fun question here. Who are maybe some of your top influencers that you follow, either, you know, virtually on social media or, you know, in person, and have just really great relationships with that really impact your career and kind of what you're doing?
Well, I, you know, first of all, through Chart, obviously I've got a lot of relationships through that, so I'll just kind of leave that to the side for now, but all of those people have influenced me in one way or another. But there's certain people, like there's a couple of speakers out there right now, like Brian Biro, Mark Sharon-Brock, and Eric Chester. I can think of three that are just, they're just smart about what they say. They motivate me, and they're sort of mentors of mine, especially Brian Biro. And I have had a really close relationship, and you've never seen this guy speak. He actually gets people to break boards in his presentation, and it's just such a great play. I mean, you've never seen a crowd more motivated. So, but, you know, besides that, I love me some Jim Knight from On Point, and Amanda Hite, of course, is an influencer for me as well. So I love all those guys.
Great. Very cool. All right, John, well, we've got about a minute and a half left. Why don't you just tell everybody where they can find you and connect with you, and maybe where we can find the Chart event and Summer Brand Camp, and we'll be closing out for the day.
All right, sounds good. So Chart, you can find at chart.org. And you can see, if you just go to events, you can see the conference dates and information. Summer Brand Camp, you can go to bpc.prbbi.com, which is Black Box, or People Report Black Box Intelligence, or just Google Summer Brand Camp 2013. You can find information on that. You can follow me at John Isbell, at John Isbell 85 on Twitter. Always happy to get some conversations, and that's pretty much it.
Great. Well, thanks so much, John, for your time, and it was great talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you at Summer Brand Camp.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Kat. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. See you guys.